This holiday season, the Comics Podcast Network is proud to partner with the Hero Initiative and sponsor the Hero for the Holidays Drive. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. We encourage our listeners and fellow comic book fans to remember the Hero Initiative during the holiday season and consider making a donation to this organization. You can visit Hero's website at www.heroinitiative.org to find out more. To donate using a credit card or check through PayPal, send to heroauctions@aol.com. Anything you can give is more than enough. And we thank you for your support.
Prepare yourself for an in-depth look at all your favorite villains, one villain at a time. It is the Rogues Gallery with the man down under himself, Damian Smith. Here now, the Rogues Gallery.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to another rousing edition of the Rogues Gallery. This is the fifth Rogues Gallery we've done in a year, so we're on about the same pace as All-Star Batman and Robin. I always got to throw that in there. And I'm joined, as always, by Lord Shaper himself, Damian Smith. What's up, Damian?
Hey. Not much at all. Nice, quiet, hot day, so.
Excellent.
Air conditioner's cranking. Got to keep cool over here.
Very cool. Very cool. And while it's still fresh in our minds, you have a message for Heath Holland?
Yes. Heath, the reason you need to actually improve on your actual New Zealand accent, there's a couple of things you're missing. You're missing the sheep in the background. And one of the sheep has to sound rather distressed. You're missing the actual echo from being at the edge of a cliff. And I don't think I need to actually say where this joke is going now.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much there.
But I do hear they push back better.
and you have to have a guitar and name yourself Flight of the Conchords.
And you have to say bro every other word.
Gotcha, bro. Yeah. I've learned so much about New Zealand's already. Thank you very much.
So, and do you know what you can do? You can actually substitute New Zealand for Scotland and say the same thing, and that's right.
So remember that, Heath. You've learned a valuable lesson, which hopefully will stick with you for the rest of your life. All right, let's get into the real stuff here now that we've gone through the silly. And we're back to DC here, and we're obviously going to do probably one of the most important villains in the DC universe right now, mostly because of the core war that's going on with him, and that's obviously Sinestro. So take it away, Damian.
Okay, well, Sinestro is from DC, as we know. His first appearance was in Green Lantern Volume 2, Number 7 from August 1961. He was created by John Broom and Gil Kane. Basically, yeah, he's got a Guardian power ring rather than the Green Lantern power ring. Now, this is one I've actually, you know, I started to pick up with Sinestro Call Special. My God. Like, I never thought they had a character like this. This is great.
Yeah. Well, what I especially enjoy about him is that he's sort of the, I guess, the Anakin Skywalker type character. Obviously, before Anakin Skywalker existed, but, you know, a guy who used to be the best hero, and now he's one of the best villains.
Actually, but did they actually update his history in that Sinestro Call special? Or was that just a retelling of it?
I think that was just a retelling of it, really.
Okay.
That one just went through his beginning stages as a Green Lantern. It didn't really go through much of his actual time as with the Guardian ring. It was mostly just the Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure because that's sort of, even though I know of him, I didn't actually know that much about him. Mm-hmm. Just like with Star Sapphire and stuff like that, they all fit into the same sort of area of the DC universe. So. Okay, so as starting off, he was a native of the planet Karada, something like that.
You say Karada, I say Karada. You say tomato, okay. I say tomato. Either way.
Yeah, you say potato, I say tomato. which, if anyone... Actually, what have they ever released a map with all the different sectors?
No, they haven't. Actually, it's Korrigar. That is the actual pronunciation of the homeworld, because I remember them actually pronouncing it like that on JLU, if I remember correctly. So it's, it would be Korugar. They haven't released a map of the sectors from what I know. They really should.
Yeah, I would love to. So I could, I would have that on the wall, just showing all the different planets and stuff like that.
I'm thinking, actually, and I don't know whether or not they will, but isn't there going to be a Secret Files coming out for the Sinestro Corps? So wouldn't it make sense to have in that Sinestro Corps Secret Files, perhaps, a map of the sectors?
Let's talk currently what's going on. Isn't he actually in another universe at the moment anyway? Isn't his base of operations, he's actually universe jumping?
Yeah, the anti-matterverse, yeah.
Yep. Now, is that still... What Earth was that originally? It was Earth 3 originally, wasn't it?
No, actually, that's just the anti-matterverse.
Okay.
That was never even officially an Earth, really. That was just, like, the opposite of our reality, pretty much.
So, out of all the 52 universes, there's actually 53.
I guess you can put it that way, yeah. Yeah. Because this literally is the opposite to all of us.
Because I thought it was originally Earth 2 where the Crime Syndicate was from, because everything was opposite.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to look that up yourself, because I'm almost positive that the antimatter universe and Earth 3 are different. But cool. I could be wrong. That could have happened later on, but I do remember that there is, you know, for just like in just like anywhere, there's a matter and an antimatter, and it just happened to be the antimatter. This is the reverse. What you might be thinking of is the JLA Earth 2 that came out with Grant Morrison, where that actually was the antimatterverse. That was his recreation of it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably what you're thinking of right there, because again, Earth 3 is separate than the antimatterverse, unless I checked.
Okay, but getting back on track, how did we digress so quickly?
I don't know.
Where he's from is actually in Sector 1417.
Mm-hmm.
He was initially considered to be one of the greatest Green Lanterns, but as the years passed, he became more and more fixated not simply on protecting, but on preserving order in the society, which basically set him up to be a dictator.
Yeah, very, very totalitarian.
And when Hal Jordan actually became the Green Lantern, he was actually had Sinestro assigned to be his instructor. And when he was actually shown what was going on or how he controlled his people or his area, he was actually shocked, called him a dictator, and had him kicked out of the Corps once he was shown to be, his dictatorship was shown to the rest of the Lanterns.
Mm-hmm. It does kind of make sense that that went that way because, well, Green Lanterns are all about the protecting, not the controlling. Or at least that's what they say they're all about. I mean, in Sinestro Corps, we're learning a lot about them that we didn't really know before. But at least then, it made sense to me why they would get rid of somebody who was more controlling the people than helping them.
I remember, I think it was on Word Balloon, wasn't it? You had one of the current artists for the Sinestro Corps actually talking about how he actually is designed, when he decided how he was going to do Sinestro, that he was actually going to do him fairly similar to what Hitler looked like.
Yeah, I think, was that Van Sciver who was on?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I never actually thought of him in that sense, but it actually makes a lot of sense as you actually go through it.
Mm-hmm.
The Guardians decided to actually punish him by banishing him to the Antimatter universe, which we were just talking about, and in particular to the alien world word of Quad. The motive in doing so was to humble him and exile him so he can sort of learn from his mistake from there. But as later found out, he had actually was taken in by the Weaponers of Quad, who were a group of warriors and scientists who hated the Guardians as much as Sinestro, and they formed a rather interesting pact there.
Yeah.
So they created what was known as the Yellow Power Ring for him to use. They sent him back to his home universe to seek revenge, which he quickly became a powerful nemesis to the Corps. And this is actually back in the days that I remember of the Green Lanterns, where literally if you wanted to actually do something to stop a Green Lantern, you just wore yellow and he couldn't touch you.
Yeah, so what you had to do is you had to carry around a giant yield sign.
You have to wear what they call the safety bike color.
or you carry a banana.
You throw a banana. I can just see it. What happened? He had a banana.
He deflected me with his evil banana.
I tried to enter his base, but he painted the door yellow. And I've asked that many a time, actually, over on the boards. I don't know if anyone remembers the saying, whatever happened to them actually being, you know, being stopped by yellow, which then they retconned that to actually mean that it was actually a fear aspect and only happened on the young lanterns, et cetera, which I thought was bad.
Well, no, actually, it did actually make sense to me, because when Kyle got his ring, it was supposed to be the first ring that was impervious to yellow, that it wouldn't be able to be harmed by yellow. That turned out to be because, in essence, Kyle had no fear. He was an artist, so he was able to sort of, I don't know, understand things better than other Green Lanterns did. So he went about things different, and that way he was able to sort of shut out his fear and not be harmed by yellow. So that made sense to me. Here, even, if one of the more powerful Green Lanterns starts feeling fear, they will be harmed by yellow. So they have to constantly have the willpower to not be harmed by yellow, which I think was a wonderful idea from Geoff Johns, because, come on, think about it. How ridiculous is it to just be unable to touch the color yellow for no reason?
I could understand it if they were actually going to get a bit of science behind it and actually do it with a light spectrum to see what light, what colors penetrate what colors, etc.
Yeah.
That's the way I would have done it myself. Mm-hmm. Not that I really write that much, but
yeah. Well, mind you, they're also going to be going into, I guess, like the spectrum of the lanterns from the looks of things. There's going to be, you know, like red power rings and blue power rings and sort
of. Well, that's
like
where the Star Sapphires actually come from as well, don't they? Mm-hmm. They're one of them themselves.
Yeah. So
my only experience of them is actually from JLU Cardan. So
yeah. It's going to be kind of interesting where they go with that, but let's go back to the yellow and the Sinestro.
You had actual skilled lanterns, which Jordan always was the main adversary for Sinestro, basically, because that was our... It's taken it from an Earth point of view, as far as I'm concerned. That's why you always see the stories about the actual Earth lanterns, either Kyle, Jordan, which I actually still... I found my run of actually Jordan as the Spectre.
Nice.
I still am a fan of Guy Gardner, though he's gone a lot soft, hasn't he, from what I've heard of late?
Not necessarily soft, more that he is more of a leader now. So he's able to sort of take those tendencies and push them aside a little bit.
Did you ever read Armageddon Inferno? Back from about 92-ish.
Ooh, you know,
I'm... 92, 93.
Is that the one where the other Guy Gardner showed up?
No, that's the one where they brought the JSA out of the realm where they were fighting the Norse gods continually.
Okay, yes.
Right, that was one of the main Wave Rider stories, actually.
I'm thinking of the Underworld one, I guess. Underworld Unleashed or whatever it was, but yeah.
That was different again, yeah. Okay. Underworld Unleashed is where you first saw Neron coming in, and he was trying to... Actually, I won't go into what he was doing, because I've got a Stump the Rios question coming up. It's actually about that.
Well, then, good save.
But Guy Gardner was always the strong-willed, I do it my way or I don't do it, and then he would get hit on his ass.
Yeah.
And he came up a lot in Lobo, which I've got nearly the entire run of his books. And he also came up in the Armageddon Inferno, where he had Guy Gardner and Orion trying to take control of the group that they were with. They were both trying to lead, which I don't know if you've actually thought about their two personalities going up against one another.
I don't even want to think about that. those are two of the most headstrong people in the DCU.
But you had those two and Lobo included on his bike.
Yeah, I think I'm done already. I'm done. I don't even want to think about it. It hurts my head.
Oh, it was great. You'll have to read them.
I might one of these days, but yeah. Well, just to summarize Guy Gardner, I think he's mellowed over the years, but that's supposed to happen with him, because he was headstrong, and now he's learned to not be headstrong but still be as powerful. You know, it comes with maturity.
Yeah, but it got to the point it was almost stupid with him. You know, his brain capacity wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it.
and see, that's what I hated about it, because I'd rather see somebody who can be a leader but still a bit of a pompous ass. And that's what he is right now. You know, he can be a leader and not just be like, I'm just going to charge the guy and hope he doesn't kill me. There you go.
Yeah. Speaking about Guy Gardner, let's just jump forward a little bit here.
Okay.
Gardner was actually forced to forfeit. He was forced to forfeit his ring after a grudge match with Jordan, since he thought he should have been chosen as the Earth's Green Lantern, if I remember correctly, and not Jordan, who was just a hotshot air pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he set out on a quest to regain his power and identity. And as I said, with the help of Lobo, Gardner acquired a yellow power ring of Sinestro from the crypt of the Green Lantern Corps on Oa. And the yellow ring, actually, just to talk about it for a bit, it actually doesn't use a battery to recharge it, but actually needs to be used against Green Lanterns to restore its power.
Yeah.
So Sinestro's actually got a vendetta that he's never going to stop.
Sure, yeah. That's since been retconned, though.
Okay. So what's that now?
Now, well, from what I saw, it's possible his ring might be different, but in Sinestro Corps, there's a giant yellow power battery on court.
Ah, that's right, yes.
Yeah, so I'm assuming since then the physics of it has changed. It's possible it might have just changed because of the fact that he made the core. So now there's a reason for them to have power batteries, I guess?
Either that or the actual power battery is actually charged by them floating. It does a reverse type thing.
That's possible.
Who knows?
That's very possible.
It could actually, think of it coming from the animated universe where things are opposite. Mm-hmm. It actually takes the power and then you actually charge the battery.
Ooh. I like that concept. I hope that's actually the case. I actually really hope that's the case. So I guess we'll find out.
Which then makes you wonder what they're going to use the battery for. That sounds cool.
And hey, spoiler, anti-monitor, battery. Come on.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. All right, he only had to face Green Lanterns in order to charge it.
Yes. Which Gardner actually found out by accident when he was fighting one of the Green Lantern Corps when he had no powers. But Gardner was actually unable to communicate it with it because it actually spoke a language that he didn't know.
Yes,
and actually, that's one good thing I can say about it. How often do you see them go to another planet and just talk to the natives?
Not very often.
Mm. So actually having the other languages coming into play.
Yeah, well now they have like a universal translator in the ring. I know that. Because there are times when they do go to other planets and they understand each other. But that's a later feature that was added.
If only they turn them into little fish that you put in your ear, you'd be right.
Uh-huh.
You'll see who gets that reference.
Oh, boy.
I'm showing my age there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but going back to it, so Gardner actually figured out how they actually charge their rings, but he didn't wear the yellow ring for that long. That's when everything started to go towards Emerald Twilight, and from there, well, we're not talking about that at the moment. So.
Yeah, that's when he became Guy Gardner Warrior, and everything got messed up, but another day, let's specifically focus on Sinestro and his ring
Sinestro
right now. Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, we haven't touched on how he was killed yet, which is actually kind of important. Because we talked about how Guy Gardner got the ring, which is from the Oa Crypt. But more importantly, how did Sinestro get there?
Okay, you've been reading, as everyone would know from your avatar, you're a big fan of the Lantern Corps, aren't you?
Why, yes. Yes, I am.
So, can you tell me why? Okay, so the Guardians actually took a leave of absence from the universe
mm-hmm.
to attempt mating with their counterparts, the Zemarons.
Yes.
So they went on a dirty weekend.
Pretty much.
Okay. I'm just trying to get my head around how
Yeah, that's actually pretty much what happened. let's go back to what I was saying before about Sinestro's death. We'll just start again from there.
Okay. Just going through it now, the Guardians actually took a leave of absence. They actually left the universe to join up with the Zamorians. They constructed an escapable prison for Sinestro and thousands of others on Oa.
Mm-hmm.
But Sinestro actually, I don't think that their prisons really can stand up that well because
yeah.
It's twice the two big bads have actually been locked up by them. And
yeah, pretty much.
Have got out. Sinestro's plan actually prevailed once again. He managed to free himself through mental manipulation of the Mad Goddess Sector 3600. He was now wielding nearly unlimited power, He murdered entire star systems until he was finally subdued by the Green Lantern Corps of Earth. Now, guilty for multiple acts of genocide, he was put on trial again by the assembled membership of the Green Lantern Corps. Finding him guilty, they actually condemned him to death and executed him. Not realizing this activated a failsafe system within the central power battery on Oa that caused it to be destroyed, should ever... Where he's from?
Korrigarian.
Male to be killed by a guardian or of their agents. Ironically, Sinestro's death then resulted in what he sought to achieve in life, the destruction of the core. He also managed to cheat death itself by transferring his consciousness into the central power battery, where he actually made a startling discovery about the yellow impurity within the Green Lantern's light.
Yeah, and this was all a retcon, by the way. His survival was a total retcon, because actually in the Hal Jordan Spectre run, they brought Sinestro back to life at one point. He was supposed to be a zombie, pretty much. And he had died. He had totally died. But not at this point. I guess they, since then, have decided that no, his spirit was inside the battery. He survived. And that's how he was able to come back in Green Lantern Rebirth. But there was a time when he actually got killed by Hal Jordan Parallax, and that was the end of that. But now, even the lanterns that supposedly died are all back. So everything that pretty much died by Parallax didn't actually die.
Yes, but he brought them back somehow, didn't he, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm still kind of confused about that, because if I remember correctly, in the Green Lantern run, Hal pretty much just came across these lanterns that were all supposed to be dead on the Manhunter homeworld. This was all leading up to Sinestro Corps, and there they were, just floating there, and he was able to revive them, and then now they're all back. So Sinestro survived, all these others survived. Nobody really died when Parallax killed everybody. It's crazy.
And that's a really poor explanation if they just, oh, look, I knew him. I thought he was dead.
I think they explained it better than that in the actual issues. It's just that to me it was pretty much just like, wait, what the hell were they doing there? Wait, what the hell? What the hell, man? So, yeah, everybody that we thought was pretty much dead during the first Parallax thing are all back. So go figure. Yeah, so obviously that's how Sinestro survived, and that's how he came back, and he recently came back in, obviously, Green Lantern Rebirth, where a whole bunch of stuff happened.
Yeah, Sinestro actually revealed the charade of his death when your favorite lantern, Kyle Rayner, actually discovered the evidence of Parallax and revealed it to Green Arrow.
Yeehaw.
Nearly killing two heroes, Sinestro was stopped by the nearly resurrected Hal Jordan, who reclaimed his ring, was purged of the Parallax influence, which I still like to the fact that, you know, even Batman wasn't actually trusting him for so long afterwards.
Yeah. Batman hates villains, and for a while there, well, he was a villain, whether he liked it or not.
Actually, even if you look at one of the latest issues of, I think it was Detective, where you had Zatanna coming into it, and he turned around and said, I don't trust you.
Yeah, he holds grudges, what can I say?
He's like me. No. Yeah, the two of them actually fought to a draw, where Sinestro escaped to the Animated Universe again, and his ring was damaged by Hal in the fight. He sort of disappeared from there. He appeared later in the Village United miniseries, where he captured Lady Quark for the Secret Society of Supervillains, which they really need to do more of.
Yes,
they do. We need books like that.
Well, the Injustice League is back.
Yep.
And they actually are called Injustice League Unlimited.
And you've got, who was it? They've got the new miniseries coming out, the Gotham Underground.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really good.
Yeah. and that combined with the whole prison world thing they're doing, I can't remember the name of the actual prison, but all this seems like there's going to be a lot of villain-based stuff coming.
Which is going to be great for us.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of stuff to talk about, yeah.
Yeah, so next year when we actually do record a couple of episodes again.
All right. So Lady Quark.
So Lady Quark, yes. Yeah. So Sinestro had been a member of the group in the past. Yeah, he was a major part of the actual massacre of the Freedom Fighters, who were investigating for the meeting places of all the other villains. He began the fight by blowing a hole through the chest of the second Black Condor, killing him instantly. you know, he's not there to actually stuff around.
Yeah, that was one of the most brutal moments in Infinite Crisis, when the Freedom Fighters just got murdered like that. I really didn't see a reason for it, and yet, well, there you go. And obviously, Black Condor, what a way to go. What a way to go.
And then he sort of disappeared for a little while to actually turn up in what we were actually speaking about earlier, the Sinestro Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That first issue, I'm still blown away from that. I'm actually waiting for a trade on that whole thing.
One of the best one-shots ever. To me, I mean, that one-shot did more to me than any other one-shot I've ever read. It packed so much of a wallop that my jaw was dropped. I at that point, I knew I'm picking up all of this, no question.
Oh, you're probably already getting all the issues at the moment, too, so you're probably more up on it than what I am.
Yeah, well, I at first was just a Green Lantern reader. I dropped Green Lantern Corps. I picked it back up for this, and I'm probably going to stick with it.
Yeah, so this is where, basically, Sinestro's returned from the Antimatter universe. He must have killed how many thousand lanterns when they found that first assault?
A lot. There were so many rings floating in the middle of space searching for new users.
Yeah.
I don't even want to count.
He's created his own version of the Green Lantern Corps, for those who haven't been keeping up on it, offering yellow power rings to everybody. And I think, actually, you spoke about it on one of the Comic Timing episodes, or was it one of the crossovers with Raging Bullets, where you were talking about when Batman was given the Sinestro Corps ring.
Yeah, we did touch on that for a little bit, and it was probably one of the best. See, I've been saying best way too much this episode, but it was a really good Batman moment right there when you saw his Bat logo like morph into the Sinestro Corps logo, because he's able to bring great fear into the hearts of men. And then, obviously, he rejected it because, well, he's not looking to bring that sort of fear into everybody. Plus, he had worn a Green Lantern ring before, so that sort of warded it away. But, damn. that's the best response I could have to that. It's like, my God, a Sinestro Corps ring on Batman. Just think of what he would have been able to do with that had he decided to keep it. Joker would have been dead in an instant.
Do you think he still would have crossed that line or
yeah.
not?
No, I certainly think that he would have been manipulated by it.
But, yeah, there's some big guns, actually, in the Sinestro Corps now. You've got the man formerly known as Superboy Prime.
now known as Superman Prime. They've been calling him Superman Prime now.
So is that the new name they were hiding from everybody?
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you what he's going to be called now. Oh, we just put man on the end.
Yeah, just like Superman and the Legion of Superheroes.
Superman Boy. That's what they need to call
Superman Boy. Oh, that's bad, because then you could do Superman Boy Love, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Other big guns there. We've got the Anti-Monitor, which wouldn't the universe be in trouble with the Anti-Monitor with that ring?
Why, yes. Yes, it would be.
If you were just to give one person that, you would give it to the Anti-Monitor, and then the universe will just decide, no, I'm going home.
Well, just to give a little bit of a spoiler away, this doesn't really give much away, the Anti-Monitor is pretty much his guardian.
Oh.
That's the way that they've been playing.
So he's a bodyguard.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, like he, just like the Guardians of the Universe, you know, created the Green Lanterns, the Anti-Monitor is his guardian. That's the way that they're making this seem. Like, he is the guardian of the Sinestro Corps.
Okay.
Which also says that there's 52 monitors out there, plus one Anti-Monitor.
Yep. Which then goes back to my theory of actually having 53 worlds, mm-hmm. universes.
Yep. And, well, for all we know, that could be 54, because they've never stated whether or not New Earth is Earth 1.
Yep.
All right, but yeah, anyway back to the good stuff, back to Sinestro himself.
And basically from that, he's just been flooring the Green Lantern Corps throughout the universe from that. He masterminded actually Kyle Rayner actually becoming the new Parallax, which I thought was a really – he worked on it so well. He found the one weakness.
Yeah.
That was an awesome thing to see. Well, like, I know people weren't fussed with actually having Parallax come back.
Well, I'm okay with it coming back, specifically the way that they did it. Because
yep.
I read the 12-issue Ion series, so I knew what had happened to Kyle previously. And just a bit of a spoiler here, in the last issue of Ion, his mother dies. And they're uncertain as to why she died. She died from this mysterious illness. And we find out in the Sinestro Corps first issue that it was a sentient virus with a Sinestro Corps ring. Damn. It's but, like, you can't get more evil than that.
Now, we're not going to actually go into the whole, you know, what everyone's talking about, how, you know, how can he be Iron in here or whatever. We're not going to bother about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've read that issue of the Atom, and it says this happens after all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, fine. I agree that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but just, and again, we're focusing mostly on Sinestro here and not Parallax.
Yes.
So, yeah.
He's another time. Mm-hmm. He's returned to his home planet to confront his successor, who he defeats and uncharacteristically spares her life, forces her to stay on the planet to fulfill her responsibilities as the savior. And then he returns to Kord to actually join the battle going there. Now, past that, I'll probably leave it up to you to say what's past that, because that's all the information I could actually find, and I'm sure you've read more than that.
Well, yeah. At this point here, well, what's been going on in Green Lantern Corps, specifically in those issues, one of the members of the Corps right now is Soranak Natu, and she's actually the current Green Lantern of Korugar. So what his mission has been, what he has tried to do, is pretty much ruin her life, because she's trying to take his place in the world. So what he forced her to do is stay on Korugar, reinstilling the fear that they cannot make any decisions without a Green Lantern's help. So she gets elected, I guess, like supreme ruler of Korugar, without even her asking it to happen. So they're turning to her for everything. And she's a doctor. That's what she does. But they're asking her to do lawyer stuff. They're asking her to do political stuff. And there's nothing she can do but stay there, or else the entire society will fall apart. All thanks to him. All thanks to Sinestro. Evil. Evil.
But good for his final plan, though. Or for his latest plan.
Oh, yeah.
That takes one out that he doesn't even have to bother with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, the reason why he did that specifically to her is because that's Korugar. He wants Korugar to be there so that she will fail and they'll be able to recognize him as their rightful ruler again. Which is going to be crazy. You want to go into appearances in other media for Sinestro?
Okay, we all know he was actually in Justice League and Superman series.
Yeah.
He appeared in Duck Dodgers.
Oh,
which
yes.
Was that? Green Lantern episode? Was that episode?
That was the Green Lantern episode, yes.
Honestly, I've been trying to find a copy of that for so long, and the man who we found out does exist again, Mr. Kevin Moyer,
yeah,
was going to send it to me a year ago.
You know, it's a
and I told him to tell me what the postage is, and I'll send him the money for it, and I'm still waiting.
Well, the next time I'll keep an eye out. I'll see what's up, because they do show it here on Boomerang a lot. So if I see them showing it again, I'll record it and I'll put it on DVD for you, and I'll send it over. All right, because
cool. Actually, did you ever end up watching those DVDs I sent over for you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, the Doctor Who was great. Haven't had a chance to watch Gen 13 yet, though. I want to, though. One of these days, I'm just going to sit down with a couple of friends and just, like, laugh.
Flea is grunge.
Yeah, that's kind of all you have to say about that. Flea.
Actually, he's apparently supposed to be turning up in the fifth season of The Batman, which that's the latest season, isn't it?
Oh, cool. That's pretty interesting. I guess.
Yeah.
Because, well, Hal Jordan's going to be in that. They're going to be doing a whole Justice League thing, where I guess Hal Jordan is the Green Lantern they chose to go with. They're going to have Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Superman, Green Arrow, and Batman, and Martian Manhunter. Making up, there might be one or two others also, making up a Justice League in there. So I guess
that would be cool.
That's going to be very, very cool. So I assume that's why he's going to be there, obviously, to, you know, be one of the villains of of Green Lantern.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him there.
Yeah, and when you hear John DeLancey playing Sinestro, you're going to love it because that's who plays it in Green Lantern. Ted Levine did a good job in the Superman and Justice League and all that, but John DeLancey has such a distinct voice that he can play evil pretty damn well. So that makes me happy about that. And of course, we have to mention the Amalgam. Because if we didn't mention the Amalgam, then I wouldn't have a life, really. He's been three different Amalgams over the time. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. First time for Iron Lantern, which was a combination of Iron Man and Green Lantern, he got fused with Mandarin and became, I can't even say
Mandarin.
Mandarin Estro.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. What a terrible, terrible name. Then he was merged with Sunfire to make Sinestro.
And then with Ultron for Sinestron.
I guess. So, those are the three versions of Amalgams that he's been. And obviously that's Marvel and DC combinations. And he was in Super Friends. We all know that. And what's this about a Legion of Superheroes?
I don't ever remember that show.
Oh, it's Legends of the Superheroes. That's what it is.
Legends of the Superheroes.
Okay.
There was a live action.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember this. I've heard about this. Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible live action. It was based off of the live action Batman. It had Adam West and Burt Ward in it.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
But I love watching that, and my son loves watching that now. He's probably, he's doing what we all did as kids.
They looked
at it and said, look, it's Batman on TV.
Sure. But this Legend of the Superheroes actually had Huntress in it. Barbara Joyce as the Huntress.
I don't know.
There were a whole bunch of characters in this that,
must have been one of those shows that never came out here. Just like, we still haven't had Birds of Prey come out here, and I heard how bad it was, and I want to actually see it because of how bad.
It wasn't that bad. No, the biggest mistake they made was trying to work in the movie universe. That was the biggest mistake they made. Other than that, it wasn't that terrible. Mostly because of Oracle. Because the portrayal of Oracle was perfect. It was dead on.
So if anyone wants to send me one, send me a copy of it, feel free.
Yes, for the Send Stuff to Australia Fund, please help Damien out and let him find other things. All right. Any other?
Hey, you ask anyone. I've always paid for everything that's been sent to me.
Yes, definitely. Any other Sinestro thoughts you got? Anything that you want to see the character do in the future, perhaps?
I'm hoping they're not going to actually kill him off or just basically, neuter him some way.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Yeah, he's got to be the big bad. And I don't want to see the sort of, he escapes to get away to come back to actually escape to get away to come back, etc. again.
Yeah. Well, I see him being a leader like Hal Jordan is a leader. Like, he is going to be the leader of the Sinestro Corps for a long time to come. They're named after him. How could they not be?
Hopefully they're going to keep going with the Sinestro Corps. That will be good, just to keep them, instead of just using them as a bit part to do an event, and that's it. Hopefully they'll be keeping them to go. So.
Oh, and I entirely forgot to ask, what do you think of the redesign of his outfit?
I actually like it. I really like the look of that, like the new, the Sinestro Lantern.
Yeah.
I really love the look of that. And the fact is, this is going back to that actual interview with Ethan Van Sciver again, where he was saying that he just mutated the Green Lantern Corps logo for it. And I really like the look of it. It suits the character so well.
Oh, yeah. And he actually looks very menacing in black and gold.
And not many people can pull that off.
Yeah. And I mean, they changed the look of the costume itself also. Like, he has a bigger collar now. It actually goes directly up. Like, it's almost like a turtleneck.
But that's going along the lines of the actual, like an SS Army uniform, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have that. That's what that's representing there, I'm sure.
Yeah, and actually looking at the picture they have on Wikipedia, that the art drawn by Ethan Van Sciver, this is totally Hitler Sinestro.
Yep.
I mean, you can tell. I mean, put a picture of Hitler next to him, tilted ever so slightly to the same, like, head angle, and you got Hitler right there. It's like science sealed delivered.
Look, I actually have to, like, going back on, a lot of this stuff that I'm pulling from is from the Sinestro Corps War. the Sinestro Corps special, and the fact that you had, he had it in for Kylo Ren from the start, just for the fact that, you know, how he, Kyle, was it shot with the arrow marks or whatever in Sinestro's back, you know, just to actually get revenge for Green Arrow?
Yeah, and he, if I remember correctly, there's a Green Lantern symbol carved into his back now.
Yeah. You know, that was great.
Freaking evil, man.
Oh, of course. Hence why we're doing this. Yeah. It's great.
I know. You're all about the evil, I know that, but yeah. it's like, do not cross this, man. You do not want to know where he will go. Yeah, and he's been a part of a lot of different things. He's been a part of the Society and Justice League, Weapons of Kord, Green Lantern Corps, Sinestro Corps, the Society. Oh, my God, everywhere, man. So, again, he's been all over the place, and I hope he will continue to be strong in the future. And he's a great character, all in all. He's the yang to Hal Jordan's yin.
Yep, and he's been used virtually the right way every time he's appeared. Mm-hmm. So they haven't, you know, done what happens to a lot of characters where they just get thrown into, you know, okay, we just need this sort of person just to do this. He's, yeah, they've established him enough to actually give him a part of the universe to make some damage.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so, I mean, we've said it all about Sinestro at this point. So, yeah, I mean, check him out. Go ahead and read Green Lantern Corps if you haven't been reading it, and Green Lantern for the actual Sinestro Corps, because it's been a hell of a good ride. And all the old appearances from Sinestro, if you want to, like, pick up the old Green Lantern showcase and stuff, see the old-fashioned Sinestro, he's been a wonderful villain ever since the start, pretty much. So you should love it.
And I think, have they just announced, well, as of recording, they've just announced that one of the hardcovers for the Sinestro Corps War?
I believe so. Yeah,
look for that coming out.
Definitely. It's going to be good times for all. All right.
And before this episode is entirely wrapped up, we actually have a promo here for our brand new podcast premiering officially in January, but they do have an episode zero out right now. And that is an all ages podcast, which is something you don't see every day, called Comics Playgrounds. So go ahead and give that a listen. And a warning that when I play the bloopers in the back, they're not even close to all ages. So if you do have the kiddies in the room and you don't want them to hear a lewd and crude joke that Damien made, I suggest you skip the ending bloopers this time around. Oh, and also one more bit of information. I was actually on episode 30 of The Pop Cult Online, which is Rick Gordon's podcast, Maxim Gori, on the comic forums. And we actually discuss anime and manga. I guess one of my favorite subjects to discuss on other people's shows. But I was on there with Bob Breitall and John Mayo and John Suntrist. And we had a whole bunch of fun on the episode. So if you want to check me out and everybody else on episode 30 of The Pop Cult Online, go ahead and go to Rick's website, which, of course, you can find all the episodes of The Pop Cult Online at thepopcult.libsyn.com. But anyway, here is Comics Playground.
Hi, I'm Eric Martin.
And I'm Ryan King.
And we're here to tell you about our new podcast, The Comics Playground.
That's right. We're ready to get this started. What was that?
Well, we are a podcast that covers all ages comics for people of all ages, so you can't say that.
I can?
Nope.
What about?
Nope. No.
Head?
Uh-uh.
Monkey?
No.
Pickle? And a...
We can't say any of those things, man. We're all ages friendly.
What can't we say then?
Well, we can say that we'll be releasing bi-weekly episodes starting in January, filled with reviews of all ages comics, both new and old.
And all companies, too, right?
Exactly. This is a way for all of us to explore these comics together. No matter how old you are, people could even get their kids to listen and interact, too.
Sounds like fun. Anything else?
Well, in the meantime, they could check out our recent episode zero to learn even more about us.
Or search for CPG on Comic Space.
Right. We hope to see you all at the Comics Playground.
Otherwise, you're just a bunch of... Sorry, had to get out of my system.
Yeah, so at this point, I guess we'll wrap this episode up. We'll start things off, obviously, with where they can contact you, Damien.
You can either find us on thecomicforums.com. I'm nearly everywhere there, but you can actually get the cryptographic forum. That's for the other show that I do, which you can find at lordshaper.com/cryptographic. You can also email me at lordshaper@lordshaper.com, so that shouldn't be hard to remember.
I certainly think not. And obviously, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. And go ahead and check out the comic forums at thecomicforum.com/forum. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. Cryptographic and Comic Timing are on there. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcasts.com. And we're also proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Make sure to check out Cryptographic over at wordshaper.com/cryptographic. And what's the other one again? You have a NIN site, right?
We've got the NIN site, which is cryptographic.ning.com for all the actual, you know, we put up a lot of, it's got our feed information up there. It's got actually videos for new movie trailers, sort of the horror and sci-fi genre stuff that we come across. There's been interviews that we've came across there. So we've been putting bits and pieces up there. You can log into it. We're trying to make a little community there as well. We got the idea from Warren Ellis, of course, with his engine stuff. So why not? You know, it seems to work for him. Why not work for us?
Yeah, and I mean, he just shut the engine down. So now you're there by yourself with NIN. So
he's still got the NIN site going, though.
I think he does. But the engine, I believe, is being shut down. Last I checked, but.
But if you actually check, if you go to my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/radiofurnace, you can actually see we've got a player up there with all our episodes that you can just click under play, and that actually comes from an insight. So.
Excellent. And make sure to vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. And make sure to send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously appreciated. And dig us on dig.com if you have time. So for Damien, I'm Ian Weathersea, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics. And the villains are awesome. If you're wondering why we sound exactly the same, that's because we cranked this all out at once. What can I say? It's like, hey, your voice usually sounds different from recording to recording. Why does it sound exactly the same this time? That's because, well, it's all being done the same day to ensure that we get this out to you guys.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I just heard something, and it was actually, I just realized it was me talking.
Oh, okay.
There's a slight delay, and I hear myself.
Ah.
It's very faintly, so.
Okay.
I've learned you pause to cough. I like how you knew it was coming, though. That was the funny thing.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't hear you, and then I'm like, what the hell's going on? That's kind of weird.
So I could have been talking in before that and you didn't hear me, so...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so yeah, we'll just start with the... with the
return. Yeah. You said earlier that we're actually recording a few, so you can... I thought we were actually just recording them all, so we've got next year's slot all done.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah. Well, welcome to the second anniversary of Rogue's Gallery.
That just brings in a really bad joke into my head.
Oh no. Alright, come on. No,
I'm not gonna go down there. I'll tell you what later.
You've said that it was a bad joke, so it has to be said. I'm sorry.
Oh, it has to be said?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Comic Timing. We have to say every single bad joke because I need something to put in the back.
This is totally politically incorrect.
Well, good, because if you listen to my episodes, you know that.
There's a midget in a bar.
Okay.
Sees a beautiful blonde come in and decides that that's right, I'm going to have her for the night. Walks up to her, says, what are you drinking? She says, some Peter Rios type drink. He buys it for her and keeps on buying them for her. After a while, she's getting a little bit blurred, and he says to her, you know, once you have a dwarf, you can never go back. And she goes, really? And because she's that drunk, she decides to go along with it. So they go up to his room, and he turns to her and says, okay, all I want you to do is lie back, close your eyes, open your legs. And she goes, that's all you want me to do? Yep. She says, that's all you have to do. And for best, you'll just let me know what you think. So she closes her eyes, opens her legs, and suddenly feels the biggest thing she's ever actually felt go inside her. And she goes, oh my God, what are you doing? You know, what's that? And he goes, just you wait till I get the other leg in.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Oh, God. He's going swimming.
Oh. I see him walking around the room.
Oh.
Just putting on my slippers here.
So how about those Sinestro Corps? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they sure are like Sinestro Corey. Yeah. All right.
You might have to cut that and put it on the end of Tommy Tommy.
You're damn right I am, man. No way in hell I'm weaving that into the actual episode, man. That has nothing to do with it. Totally for the end. All right, so...